All right. Can you go get your sister?
Yes.
Well, it's just me and my daughters tonight. And as soon as they all get in here, it'll be me and my daughters. Probably should have gone off to get her a while ago. Taking the opportunity to go through 270 emails. Isn't that crazy?
Uh-huh.
Do you guys ever get emails like that?
No, I just get rid of all of them.
You just get rid of all of them? You don't read them?
Well, all the ones. Well, I don't get important ones. I don't get anything important.
So you receive junk mail already?
Actually, I don't receive anything.
You don't have a personal email.
You don't really need a pen, if that's what you're looking for. No. No. Sit down. We're recording. We're live. Right now.
I can't throw my stars?
You can throw your stars after we're done.
Okay.
And I don't know if you can throw them there from that direction, because that thing's not exactly stable right now. Come on in. Come on. Get some peanut butter crackers. You know, this is interesting because this is the modern generation. And so, for instance, when Abigail does her live streaming.
What?
You just do, like, you're living life. Like normal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very odd thing for me, because it just seems weird that someone would actually watch that.
They like watching my process and my draw.
Yeah, I get that. But I don't know. I guess I just don't understand the why.
Because you don't have a life of their own. Anyways.
Well, that's online for everyone to hear.
Well, I'm not wrong, though.
What?
She said that people don't have life of their own.
Because, like, people watch everybody else have their own, like, amazing life because they know that they won't ever have that. They feel like they won't ever do that or be able to accomplish that. So they watch everyone else do it because they feel like they don't have a life.
Do you think what you said was possibly insensitive?
I'm not medicated.
Anyway, so tonight we are going to be looking at
Can I eat this?
Huh?
Yay. Yes.
We're going to be looking at how Jesus is God. So, we all know, I think this is something that we all know, right? That Jesus is God?
Mm-hmm. Abby, what are you doing?
Are you done with your email yet?
Almost. I'm doing some grammar right now.
Grammarly.
So.
Read it.
I'll read it in a minute. It's not going anywhere.
So,
here's the thing. You know Jesus is God, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's God's son.
How do you know that?
Because God made him.
Prove it.
The birth of him was through the Virgin Mary, and that couldn't happen without a holy thing, because there's no such thing as an asexual human.
So, Jesus didn't exist before then?
He did technically exist, didn't he?
Ah!
He did in heaven.
I thought he was, mentioned a couple of times.
Ah! So maybe there is something to be learned here. Could you get me one of those, please?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Would you like one?
No.
Okay.
As a joke. I'm not throwing it.
Okay. Thank you for not throwing. All right. So, think about your favorite teachers or coaches.
Mm.
Who is your all-time favorite and why? And all-time, not just this year.
Mm.
All-time.
Oh, that's hard. Mrs. Young.
Definitely not any of my elementary school teachers. They sucked. I didn't like any of my middle school teachers. High school-wise, I think Mr. Hoare is my favorite.
Okay.
You didn't like Mr. Kimball?
I liked Mr. Kimball, except he was quiet, and it was a weird class. And I have bad memories associated with this class.
Oh. How about you, Elizabeth?
I just said Miss Young.
Miss Young?
Mm-hmm.
Even though this is your first year with her? Or is this your second?
I had her last year, and she tutored me the year before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's been helping her out this entire time.
Miss Young and Miss Barker are my favorite.
My most memorable teacher, I don't know if she was my favorite, was Miss Kilgore. Also, Miss Pascal. Miss Pascal was my fifth grade teacher. And she encouraged me to try out for student council.
And Did you get it?
Yeah, I became the fifth grade student vice president. Hey, it was my first foray into politics. What can I say?
I'm the senior class secretary.
Yeah, look at you.
I'm a nobody. Anyway.
You are not a nobody.
I'm just nobody.
You're a voter.
Trying to tell everybody.
So, many different traits qualify someone as a good teacher. We might be drawn towards their wisdom, mastery of their subject, and their excitement about learning. Or we might appreciate someone who consistently models excellent character. Who knows how to help us think and learn for ourselves, and who challenges us to become wise? Most of us especially loved the teacher who took time to know us and encourage us the most. Mm-hmm, you see that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Miss Barker, Miss Young. Hoot hoot.
All of these qualities combined would certainly make someone a memorable teacher. But what if a teacher could do more than just teach? More than instruct. And more than inspire.
What if they could save our lives?
What if the teacher could actually change the state of the world and the hearts of humankind?
Exactly.
Not just now, but forever.
Wow, that gets us Jesus.
Shouldn't the whole world want to know such Jesus. Such a teacher?
Yeah, I think he's talking about Jesus. Do you think he's talking about Jesus?
Well, I think he's talking about
Hatsune Miku. All right, let's watch the video.
Yeah, Hatsune Miku.
So this is one of the basic tenets of faith, actually, is that Jesus is God. And what's one thing you want everyone to know about Jesus?
He died on the cross for you.
Okay.
I'm trying to think.
Okay.
He can do literally anything, and you never have to be stressed as long as he's there. And if you believe in him at the same time, you can't just be like, oh, Jesus, I love you, can you give me this one thing, and then never actually believe in him, because you can't do that, and that's not going to get you anywhere.
And you can't do, like, God, can you please forgive me, and then just keep doing the thing that you asked for forgiveness for.
So what would you call that?
Okay.
So you get really, do you guys get really caught up on the whole hypocrisy thing?
With people? Yeah, with our generation, that's like half of Christians right now that say that they're Christians. They'll be, like, especially on social media, they'll be out and about and they'll, like, pretend to have a faith in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever you're, like, meet them or you get with, like, meet the person, they're not Christian-like. They don't act kind towards people, and it's hypocrisy. It's what's destroying Christianity, like, as a concept within our nation at this point.
Why do you think that is?
Because Christians are being labeled and stereotyped as a certain way, which tends to be, like, bigoted, mean, spirited, rude towards
everyone. Judgmental.
Judgmental. That's what I've been hearing. It sounds a lot less like Christians and more like the Pharisees of, like, the old days. Like, they're judgmental towards people no matter who they are, and they believe that they're higher than thou, if thou. That makes sense.
Okay.
It's a problem.
Can you give me a description?
Of, like, what?
Or an example?
So, for example, I've had a lot of people that I've met that are, like, supposed to be, like, good Christians, but I don't want to name drop, but they'll be making terrible, terrible jokes in the background about other people, and then making fun of other people. And it's gotten to a point where it's just like, are you sure you're even Christian anymore? Like, wearing Christian clothing and saying that you're Christian online doesn't make you a Christian.
They're not being very Christ-like.
They're not being Christ-like, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, they aren't practicing what they preach.
It sounds almost like a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Exactly. And it's worse because it infiltrates those, especially those who have been raised in the church. They've come to believe that, oh, I can do whatever I want because no matter what I do, I'll be forgiven for it. And it doesn't matter what my actions cause. So.
Do you think it is potentially an immaturity? Or what do you think causes this?
I've seen it in adults. A lot of adults.
No. I know. Adults can be immature, too.
Yeah. I think it's the lack of education about how to be Christ-like, maybe.
Maybe.
Or people that just don't listen. Or don't go to church and say that they're Christians.
Well, education is one thing, because that's getting the knowledge into your head. But unless it translates the 2 feet to your heart...
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever the distance is, it's not 2 feet, I guess. Some people maybe have really long necks. Foot and a half, maybe? Anyway, the several inches to your heart, if it doesn't change your heart, doesn't change who you are, it doesn't matter how much you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the devil knows everything about God.
Yes, exactly. It's more of like people, they don't act like they should. If that makes sense. It's like a church. So let's take an example of a church. So this is not our church at all. It's like a church that makes a whole bunch of money and gets a whole bunch of ties towards themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Not to only take that money and instead of using it to help others or to expand their church, they use it towards themselves. Instead of storing their treasures in heaven, they're storing their treasures within themselves.
But isn't there a place for some of that, though?
What do you mean?
So, for instance, like, our church, I love our church. We have a wonderful church, but, you know, if we burgeoned up fast and we got 75 people.
Yeah.
All of a sudden,
mm-hmm.
we've got a problem. And we've it's a good problem. I love good problems.
I wasn't saying it didn't go towards the church.
Okay.
I was saying it goes towards the individuals that either run the church, or towards frivolous things. That's what I've seen a lot with, like, mega churches. Instead of spending it towards, like, of course they do missions and stuff, but instead
sure.
a majority of their income, instead of going towards, like I said, like, helping people and building up the church, it goes towards the pastors.
Air conditioning a mega church.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about air conditioning a mega church, is you are contributing to your community.
I'm not saying the money isn't going towards the air conditioning. It's going towards the people that run the whole organization.
What are they doing with it?
Using it for themselves. It's happened a lot.
Sure. It has happened in the past. I won't deny that.
I mean, like the wealth doctrine. That was an obvious way for just people that were doing that to get rich. And it still happens nowadays. I'm not saying that all megachurches are like that. I'm saying that I've seen a bunch of examples of those are like that.
So how do we discern between something that... Don't do that at all. That's a terrible idea.
The wax.
Yeah, but you could break your bracket if you use that on there.
What is she using?
Fork.
Fork.
Don't do that.
No.
No. Just lick it out.
Yeah, give it time. Where was I going with this? Oh, discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you kind of have to have discernment about these things because...
You have to have a spiritual maturity in order to sense
it. Yeah.
And that's what's really lacking within the generation, spiritual maturity.
And accountability.
Yeah, that too.
Right?
You can get away with almost anything nowadays.
What do you think, Elizabeth?
What was the question?
I don't know. I'm just wondering what you think.
Well, today, or there could be a lot of Christians today. I would say that, like, Christian, they act Christian, but then again, they still do worldly things. Like, they be Christian, but then they'd also be, like, lesbian or trans.
That's not what we were talking about.
No, but I did ask her what she wanted to talk about. So it's okay.
So, like, there's those people out there that, yes, they praise God and everything, but they're still, like, stuck in this, what's the word? Stuck in this, like...
Cycle?
I was thinking cycle, but that's not it. I guess I'm going to use that. Stuck in the cycle of believing that it's okay to be that way. Okay. Because they...
As long as the sins are forgiven, they don't care about if when they do it. They're just going to continue. Yeah.
It's like, there could be Christians out there. They'll be, like, really Christ-like and all kind of people, but then they'll be cursing. Saying God's in vain.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. And then they'd be, like, all nice other people. But, like, whenever they see somebody else that's, like, different than them, they totally change their opinion.
Yeah.
And just start being rude.
See, I've often thought of that as kind of like, we have this mentality in the United States where we can be two things. Like, I'm a Caucasian American, or an African American, or an, you know, whatever you want to go from there, Asian American, or... Polish American, whatever.
Who you are assigned to be doesn't define you.
Correct. But here's the thing. Can you be a trans Christian?
No.
Why?
Because being trans is sinful. And if you want to be a trans Christian, you aren't Christian at all because you're still stuck in that sin.
Okay, so you're identifying yourself with the sin.
You're identifying yourself with two things that contradict each other. You can't do that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's hypocrisy within yourself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if and it's basically like idolizing that identity, but also idolizing the fact, like, it's not like praising God. You're like saying that you're a Christian and you're trans, so you're idolizing the identity.
Yeah, you're adding to. What is already sufficient in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, what about the concept of teen Christians?
What are you talking about?
So, I tend to think that, and this is something that existed when I was a teenager, is we would justify acting a certain way, or believing a certain way, or whatever it was, because of our age. We were acting our age. We were teen Christians.
Well, I mean, literally, me and Elizabeth's brain aren't developed.
Correct.
Literally. Like, there's some things that we just can't do. That you can't.
Well, sure. I mean, every child is in a different stage of development.
Mm-hmm. I think I know what you're talking about with this, because, like, at the school, there's Christians there, but, like, I don't see them spreading the gospel. And I'm like, I don't know why you're not spreading it, because that makes me feel scared to spread it, because I feel like I'm too young for that.
There's this pressure within school to just act the same as everyone else or be quiet.
Yeah, that seems to be the going thing for school, doesn't it? I mean, you have to think, like, even from the earliest portions of school, you were taught how to stand in line, walk in line, be quiet in the hallways, do this, that, and the other thing.
So we can work in factories in our future.
So you all can work in factories later on, yeah. But, you know, they do that to help keep order and security and everything else. And I get all of that. And I can appreciate it for the most part. But what gets me is it almost becomes an excuse not to be fully like Christ. Right?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm wrong on that. By the way, if you just keep it in your mouth, it'll eventually dissolve itself and you swallow it. And then you add more. That's how that works.
That's good to know.
You poor girl got braces this past week and she's dealing with wax for the first time.
I despise this.
You'll feel better when it's all done.
In 3 years? Yeah.
It's not that long. No, I'm serious. Senior. That's still not that long. How long did I have mine? I think I had it for less than that.
A year and a half.
Yeah. She has two of them up there.
Yep. What impacts you as you think about the concept of Jesus conquering death?
Ow.
That the unstoppable force literally moved the immovable object out of the way and beat it up. It happened. It's something that shouldn't happen, but it happened.
Defies all logic?
Mm-hmm.
Ow.
What do you think?
I bit my cheek.
Ouch. What do you think about that statement, though? What do you think about when I say that Jesus conquered death?
The fact that he conquered death shows and symbolizes that nothing's impossible for God. Not even death can hold it down.
Right, no grave can hold his body down.
Yeah, I just pulled out your song, didn't I?
Well, I can't sing right
now. Okay, so our God is not just a lifeless statue. We know that. Or just an idea.
Yeah.
Which is what a lot of religions are.
Yep, an idea.
Like, you know.
He knows us personally. And helps us to know him.
You look great.
So, what does that mean?
That he knows us personally?
Yeah.
That means he literally knows us better than anyone else, because he literally helped to create us, and
helped? Like, he made us.
I don't know. All three of them did.
All three are one.
Yeah.
What?
All three are one.
Yeah,
one,
like
plus one plus one equals
there's
one.
There's three in one shampoo.
Shampoo gonna shower.
All right, let's get back on track here.
No, I want to take a shower.
No. You need to take a shower. You
okay, let's not. No.
That was a joke for the audience. I apologize for my
rudeness towards my sister.
No, it's true.
Well, according to her, it is true.
Okay.
You're stanky.
So, okay.
Wow.
So knowing that God, Christ, mm-hmm. is not an idol or just an idea, but living, and he knows us.
Yeah.
How should that change you and the decisions that you make in your life?
He literally knows which decision you're going to make no matter what you do.
Right.
Like, if I were to, say, pick my iPad up, he knows I wouldn't chuck it across the room. But maybe I would. I wouldn't. But, yeah, he just knows me, which is crazy to think about. Because if you have a God that knows you and loves you, and is it just a God that's way above there, all above you, like,
Oh, he's the big bad God,
and if you do this, I will punish you for the rest of your days. Instead of that, it's more like, this is a guy that knows me, but is also all the way over me at the same time. It's like having a really cool boss.
Okay, that's
a really cool boss that's also your dad.
And is all powerful.
That's all powerful.
And all knowing.
Yeah, that too. And omnipotent.
Omnipresent.
He is everywhere. Okay.
Yeah. Omnipotent.
What do you think, Elizabeth?
Omnipotent.
You think that? That's gross.
It's kind of gross.
Try again.
Sorry, I wax. What was the question?
What do you think about God knowing you? How should that change what you do or what or how you act?
Abigail?
Elizabeth? Answer my question.
I think it's cool.
It's cool. Explain.
Like, some people that I know don't even know all about me.
And you think it's cool that somebody knows everything about you?
They don't even know what my favorite candy is.
Musketeers? Do you ever wish...
what you book all
Do you ever wish God was not looking at you?
No.
You ever wish he didn't know what you were doing?
No.
Yeah.
Abigail,
yes, you do.
No, I don't. Because if he knows what I'm doing, it means that I probably shouldn't be doing it when I know I shouldn't be doing it. Because he's there in the back of my head telling me not to do it. And that's kind of important. Because
and you do it anyway.
Because I do it anyway. But it's important that the voice is there so
what,
I know it's wrong.
So what is that? You see, the thing is I'm thinking, like, if I disobeyed a rock, mm-hmm. I wouldn't care. Because it's, I mean, like... like a wooden idol
but
or
But I
a stone
disobey
idol.
This living freaking God that's all-powerful, literally freaking everywhere, and can see my every move. It's
right.
Like 1984, but good.
It's like when I give you an instruction to your face,
mm-hmm.
and you look at me and say, I'm not going to do that. Not that you've ever done that.
I've done that before.
Yes, I know. It's kind of like that, right? Except... an omnipotent, omnipresent,
all-powerful guy.
Yeah.
Guy? It's a god.
God. Right?
Yeah.
The god.
Right?
Yeah.
What?
Left. Middle. Behind. Front. Out here.
So here's a question I think I'm going to end on this question. At what time in your life did you feel Jesus connecting with you in a real and personal way?
Youth convention, 8th grade year.
Okay.
That's oddly specific, but just being at... because I think we're at Evangel at that time, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just being at Evangel for that, because I wanted to go there my entire life, and just feeling the connection, not only with, like, the school, but also with, like, God at the same time, because it was like the point I was like, yeah, God, this is the place you want me to go to, and
Okay.
It just really, he showed me a path that day, and I really hadn't connected that well with him before, and then suddenly, boom, all at the same time.
So it's like he knew how to get through to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. What's your...
So, whenever I got my spiritual language, which was like, I think, the last time I went to youth camp, I was just praying for somebody that I didn't know, and immediately just, I felt like something overwhelming inside of me. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I started speaking in a way I wasn't speaking before, and I'm like, what the freak kind of gibberish am I saying? And I'm like, oh, it's my spiritual language. And I had actually used it the other day, and I prayed for Abby's knee for a game, I think it was knee. You told me that it felt better.
For like a week. Yeah, it felt really good for like a week.
Yeah. So,
that was like the week-long spiritual warfare prayer. Got it.
Really?
No, that's not a biblical thing. I'm just saying it worked for a week.
Yeah.
So.
But that week was important, wasn't it?
That's cool.
I think. I don't know what I'm praying for. But now I know just how powerful using that kind of prayer is for people. If it means that I can heal them even for a small amount of time, like for a week, or maybe even for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
That's such a very powerful spiritual, and I'm so glad to be gifted that ability to speak in that language I know nothing about.
Agreed.
That's good.
What about you, Dad?
Oh, the first time? I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
Do you remember? The 21st
the time you met Jesus in the best way.
Okay? So, 21st. I mean, there's a lot of times in my youth that I remember that.
Yeah, youth is like the most important year.
But, I mean, I feel a connection with Jesus a lot, like during worship and things like that. Like when we had worship practice the other night, and we were just, I don't know, we got to the end of the rehearsal on the last song, and it just felt like we were in the presence of God.
This one? This set?
Yeah.
I like that set. It was a good set.
Haha! I'm the one that set it up. Yeah.
Elizabeth has got the gift, man.
I didn't know. I just put random crap together that had similar words.
I want to tell you about this guy in the Bible named Thomas. You know who Thomas is?
The doubter?
No, not the train.
The doubter. Yeah.
Okay, so Thomas is a guy that traveled around with Jesus for 3 years. Mm-hmm. He knew him as a great teacher and a leader and all that. And he knew that Jesus was dead and buried. And then he shows up one day at the upper room, and he's approached by Peter and the ladies and other disciples saying, hey, guess what? Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. And he goes, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I just find it really interesting because all of his friends, all of his acquaintances, everyone in his sphere was telling him the truth about Jesus, but it wasn't until he had his own encounter with Christ that he believed.
That's some people, though. Like, they don't believe in Christ until they know that it's real. Like, especially within, like, if they're in the church for a long time, they don't ever get it.
See, I think there's something to that. I think, and this is an important part of, like, evangelism, is that you can tell your story, you can tell people about Jesus all day long, but until they actually have an encounter with him, they may not believe. What do you think?
Agreed.
Yeah?
Bobbers.
So what does that mean? What are the implications of that, knowing that?
It's very skeptical.
Okay, I get that it's skeptical, but what I mean
everyone
by that is...
Everyone has a certain threshold that'll let them into their own faith. Like, there's some people that's going to take a lot more time in order to help them be able to believe in Christ and be able to know him than it is for other people. Because some people I've met, they go to church maybe once, and they're, like, all in day one. And I've met people who go to church maybe twice, maybe
5 times and then are like, no, it's not for me, and then they leave.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But how much of that is on us and how much of that is on God?
It's on God. All of it's on God.
Pretty much all of it's on God, right? But we do have our part, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's our part?
To help lead reach in the right direction
to them.
Huh?
Reach out to them?
Yeah. Share what we've learned.
Mm-hmm.
See, what's interesting is that we need, and this is an important piece, especially for us as we get ready to leave here. We're about to, you guys are about to go back to school and go Caps and all that fun stuff, and I'm going back to work and refereeing and so on and so forth, is that the Bible says to go and make disciples, telling them what Jesus has done. It doesn't tell us to go out and berate people about the sin in their lives. I don't think people need to be told that they're sinners.
They know.
I think most people know that they're sinners. I think the people that don't know that they're sinners, the moment that a Christian is around them and they can actually experience the light around them,
mm-hmm.
I think that that highlights something. So instead of, you know, sitting here and talking to like a homosexual person and telling them how their life is wrong and sinful, wouldn't it make more sense to tell, to talk about what Jesus has done?
Yeah. It's Jesus isn't, you're not Jesus. You can't just judge people on the spot.
Sure.
I don't even think Jesus judged people. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. He's allowed. He is the judge.
He's allowed to.
Yeah.
But we're not the judges.
But we have discernment.
Yes. That discernment should lead us to people in order to help them. Sure. Not to berate them.
But we do still judge, though. And judgment and discernment are almost, they're very, very close words. Judgment and discernment. We like, in Christianese, we like using the word discernment because it doesn't sound like judgment. But in reality is, we are passing a judgment on people when we are being discerning.
Everyone has a sort of judgment, but judgment has more of a negative connotation to it.
Of course it does. But isn't that what we're doing?
We judge with our eyes because that's what the world must see. Okay. We have to discern with our hearts in order to help them believe.
That's a nice little rhyme there. I like that.
Did you read that from somewhere?
No, I made that up on the spot.
Okay.
She does that a lot.
All right. I'm not going to continue that because that could totally go into a rhyming round here, which is what Elizabeth was trying to do.
I was?
Yes, you was.
I was! You just said, oh, she made that up on the spot. And you were like, oh, yeah, she does it a lot.
All right, let's pray. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that you brought us here together. We can learn more about you, God, and understand more about who you are and what you want us to do, how you want us to live, and what you want us to say. Lord, I pray that we could take what we've learned today, apply it to our lives, and become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for being here.